E-commerce business owners know a successful business keeps customers happy. That's why smart retailers use ShipStation. Turn shoppers into loyal customers with cheaper, faster, and better shipping. Manage all your orders and returns in one place and save up to 90% on rates from all the global carriers. Go to ShipStation.com/program to sign up for your free trial. No credit card required, and you can cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com/program.
Hey, welcome back to Screen Crush. I'm Ryan Airy. You know, guys, Marvel and DC have not put out a 1-2 punch this good since Iron Man and The Dark Knight. And even though I loved Superman and Fantastic Four First Steps, I can't help but wonder which movie was better. I mean, look, art is not a competition. But hell, for a few minutes, let's pretend art is a competition. Who won the Great July Franchise War of 2025? A little later, I'm going to bring on two of my best friends, comedian Mike Lawrence and Cameron Caskey, the intern we fire in every video. But first, I want to talk about all the reasons these movies are so similar and why one of them might stand apart. First of all, these are both movies that are relaunching a superhero that began its respective comic book universe. Superman was the first superhero, launching with Action Comics number one and spurring a huge growth of superheroes during the Golden Age, and the Fantastic Four were technically the first Marvel comic that launched the Marvel Age of Heroes. The movie's heroes are in bright, off-the-page comic book costumes, and each movie features a lovable sidekick that is sure to sell a lot of toys. Each film also boasts an incredible ensemble cast, and the universes feel lived in and warm. And we also start a few years into each superhero's career. The visual effects in each movie are top-notch and imaginative, and each film likes to involve the camera in the action. Gunn had things like teeth hitting the lens, while Johnny's fire sprayed the lens with ash and debris. Now, the last movies in these franchises were darker stories that didn't necessarily reflect the tone and optimism of the original books. The Man of Steel showed us what it would be like if Superman was a burden for someone to bear, and Fantastic showed us what it would be like if sullen, fame-obsessed introverts got superpowers. Both of the directors of these franchises were later fired, sort of, and replaced by studio executives. Zack Snyder's Justice League was taken away from him when he was replaced by Joss Whedon, and the studio edited and reshot Josh Trank's version and cut it to ribbons. Both Superman and First Steps are set in alternate universes, a bright comic book world, and they don't try to be a part of the real world that we live in today. In each movie, the heroes face an initial threat that is way more powerful than them, and then they have to live with this defeat. So in the middle of the second act, the heroes go to another world, and their place in the universe is shaken, and it seems like all is lost. The heroes also learn news that makes them feel hopeless. Clark learns that his parents were a-holes, and the Fantastic Four learn that there is basically nothing they can do to stop Galactus except give up their son. The public turns on the heroes and they doubt themselves, but they receive help from outside sources. Superman gets a little help from his friends and family, and the Fantastic Four get help from the entire world. Heroes are brought to the brink of death and all seems lost when they are helped by a woman who works for the villain. Now, that's some of the reasons they're similar, but I want to talk about what makes each movie distinct. First of all, Superman has the benefit of being the first movie in a new cinematic universe. Even though the Suicide Squad is kind of connected to this film, this is essentially a fresh start. So, we don't have any expectations, and we don't have to know anything about these characters. But more importantly, this movie is not locked into a house style. Marvel movies are expected to be fun and quippy, even when that doesn't fit the tone of the movie at all.
Fall collection. IKEA.
But here, James Gunn gets to establish the tone that he wants. He's also working with the most iconic superhero of all time, someone who is already a proven winner at the box office. So he's able to lean on that nostalgia. He can sample the original John Williams score and place Superman in these mythic surroundings, and that also reminds us of our childhood. The Fantastic Four, on the other hand, inherited three failed attempts at a franchise and the wounded box office expectations of the MCU. Superman's running theme is about weakness and humanity, specifically how weakness is what makes us human. The ideological battle at the end is about whether Lex is right about humanity striving toward perfection, or if Superman is right about our imperfection shaping our humanity. But the movie Superman also has a weakness and has to do a lot of heavy lifting for this universe. The movie had to add an opening crawl because test audiences were confused. Now, for a lot of people, it was strange seeing so many superheroes we had never met before, and this was a lot of characters to keep track of. Now, the Fantastic Four First Steps also had to do a lot of heavy lifting. They chose to not spend the first half of the movie on an origin story, and instead set to give us a reminder on a news broadcast, but they still had to establish that this was a new universe set in the 1960s and that this team has already been fighting other supervillains that we don't get to see. There is a lot of information conveyed in that opening montage, and the movie doesn't take time to slow down. Many elements from the comics are ignored or only implied. For instance, Ben Grimm resenting being turned into a monster or Johnny irritating him for fun. But this movie also nailed the central theme of the Fantastic Four.
We will fight it together as a family.
You don't turn your back on family.
Instead of just being yet another movie to save the world, it was a movie about the world trying to save a baby. The hopeful optimism in both of these movies was refreshing, given that the times we live in also seem so damn dark and depressing. The Fantastic Four showed us a family who love each other by giving us tender moments between the characters. That raised the stakes for the final battle. I mean, I love these guys, and I want to see them save their family. So, like I said, there is a lot to love about both of these movies, but to really understand which one is actually better and which one's a better start for this franchise, I have two of the all-time smartest comic book people that I know here right now. We have comedian Mike Lawrence, host of the Nerd of Mouth podcast, and of course, Cameron Caskey, who is the intern that we fire in every video. Guys, it's great to see you. I've been really excited to talk to both of you about these movies, but I literally haven't had time to do anything but write videos until this very moment. My life is hell right now. Mike, let's just start with you. I don't want to know like which one you thought was better just yet, but I haven't even heard from you yet. What are your thoughts on, let's start with Superman.
Superman, I really enjoyed. I thought that I am a big James Gunn fan, if there is a bias going into this one, and I thought that it was a very James Gunn movie, but that's what I paid to see. If there's anything that really should be celebrated in both these movies, is that the trailers were good and the movies are good. And that rarely happens. The trailers really felt actually honest and not misleading. And, you know, I think the fact that the first trailer opens with Krypto and, you know, the robots and gives you, because they really lean in on Krypto in this movie. So if you're not into Krypto, it's like that.
But you're right. The trailers were very honest. Like even, I don't want to get in the Fantastic Four just yet, but the Fantastic Four, I watched that trailer and I thought, oh, that's kind of muted, but that's what the movie did. It introduced us to it basically showed the first scene, you know, where we're introduced to the team.
I think we'll look back as this is an extremely important year in superhero movies. Like this felt like the renaissance we've been promised for a long time. They basically made the same box office, where it's not an insane box office, but it's respectable, right? Mm-hmm. Like this made 125, the other one made 118. Like, and they're bright, they're colorful, they lean into the silliness. These are movies that are not ashamed of themselves, which a lot of superhero movies still feel that way, despite how long we're into the, you know, Infinity Stones instead of Gems, Tesseract instead of Cosmic Cube.
Making fun of the superhero names and the costumes and what did you expect, yellow spandex,
and you know the Justice Gang joke did get a little annoying in that way of like, yeah, we've heard this kind of thing. The engineer did feel like she was from an X-Men, like the 2006 movie. She felt like one of Magneto's lackeys in that forest. And the Ultraman reveal was a little disappointing, but I mean, the moments that hit me really hit me. You know, I am an adoptive dad, so, like, man, that end really made me cry.
Oh, man,
I loved Bumpkin Kents. I know some people didn't. I thought it was great.
I mean, that's where I grew up. I thought that in the first trailer. I was like, well, that's honest, because I don't know anyone who still lives on this, like, Depression-era sprawling farm. We live in double wides. Yeah. You know, the cows are sleeping 4 feet from the back door.
I will say, if you want Jor-El to be seen as benevolent and the twist is that he's an asshole, don't cast Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, it would be the other way around.
That's not a shot.
I'm glad we have this Screen Crush platform, because Reddit, I couldn't let Reddit and my comic book group chat be the only place I talked about this. My semi-controversial take, and I know it's not too hot a take, is that I really liked the twist with the Kal-El message being something that was supposed to be bad, because in that you get sort of the theme of the story, which is also to me the difference between Snyder's Superman and Gunn's Superman. You know, there are many things that we can admire about Henry Cavill's Superman, many things to criticize, But the big difference between these two depictions, and the reason I think Gunn's Superman has become, you know, the quintessential Superman, I think Christopher Reeve almost transcends the idea of best Superman. He is his own genre of superhero character. Right. But Snyder's Superman is super because he's Kryptonian. Gunn's Superman is super because he's human. So the idea that the Kryptonian parents sent him to Earth to do good, and therefore he does good, has this sort of predeterminism to it, whereas Gunn's story is all about being good in spite of the cruelty of reality. Superman, as a character, but you know, especially in this version, represents the fact that we all make the choice to be good. You know, George R. R. Martin, when he talks about what makes his characters in the Song of Ice and Fire / Game of Thrones universe so good, he says it's not a battle of good versus evil, like in Tolkien. The battle between good versus evil happens inside the human heart every single day, and it's about the choices that we make. And this Superman, because of after learning that he was actually sent to Earth to have a harem, which, like, imagine being a parent bringing their little kid to Superman and having to explain to them what a harem is. But despite him being sent to Earth to be a conqueror, Superman makes the choice to do good, not because he's Kryptonian, not because that's what Jor-El and Lara sent him to do, but because that's what Ma and Pa Kent taught him to do. And I actually got to see Superman with my mom, dad, stepmom, and stepdad, because I am the rare divorce kid whose four parents all get along quite well. And it was a very emotional thing to see this movie about, you know, the ways parents affect who you become.
I want to touch on something you said a second ago, and that is, like, that it was controversial that his Kryptonian parents were assholes. That people forget that came, like, almost everything else in Superman these days, that came from John Byrne in the 1986 series Man of Steel. Like, he was the first person to do the Kryptonians were these emotionally detached people who thought Earthlings were savages. And I don't know, I just, in all the conversations about different, like, All-Star Superman things, I think John Byrne completely got swept under the rug for making a Superman that was more, that was Clark first and Superman second, which is exactly what this movie was about. In fact, actually, and a contributor, by the way, I should credit, David Blix, an author and a contributor, actually emailed me this, and we were talking about it in a discussion over email, too. Go ahead, Mike, sorry.
Well, and I was going to say the transmission of the Kryptonians and we're going to invade and all that, that's from Superman Birthright.
Absolutely.
But in that comic, it was a hoax that Luthor devised, which that was what was funny in this movie. It was like such a studio note when when was it Mr. Terrific's like, I talked to the 30 best linguists and they say that the message is true.
Yeah.
because Lex is so evil in this movie, which I think is great, that you are like, is this true or not?
You know, just to, I guess, transition a little bit into the Fantastic Four of it all. It's very interesting that we have a movie, we have these two movies back to back, super fantastic. One of which is very much about the child, the next very much about the parents. And I have much shorter thoughts about Fantastic Four. I think two things. Number one, this is a movie for parents, and this is a movie about being a parent. My mom, when we were all at the movie, when Sue Storm is using every bit of energy she could possibly conjure to throw Galactus in the blood, she was like, I would do that. I would do that. I think it was a great movie. I think it was very cool that it was doing real sci-fi. I think that it was great that Johnny Storm wasn't just some idiot, but he was still the hothead. And I think Vanessa Kirby was great, but really Pedro Pascal was unbelievable because everything with Reed Richards is happening off the page. You know, you're not, when you're a screenwriter, you don't, Reed doesn't say what he's thinking. And there's this amazing scene where Reed and Sue are talking about how Reed had considered giving the baby up to Galactus. And that's Reed Richards, is he has those dark thoughts. He's a very cerebral person. And I think Pedro's ability to capture the very deep emotional life of Reed was really great. There's a reviewer, David Ehrlich, who gave the movie a pretty lukewarm, not very good review, but he said this amazing thing where, like, the best stuff in the movie was in the first act, where you're watching Reed face the dread, the overwhelming dread of an experiment whose results he cannot control, Reed being terrified of having this baby because it's just this type of thing where he can't control the outcome. That was where you saw the best of the movie, and I really liked it.
Yeah. He penciled in Panic Time for later. Mike, I mean, you're one of the biggest Fantastic Four fans that I know. I don't know if your expectations were high or if they've been destroyed by past films. What did you think about this one?
I mean, yeah, it's not even a big thing to say this is the best Fantastic Four film ever, because I could walk into a theater with a blank screen for 2 hours and say that. But I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I agree with Cam that it leaned heavy into sci-fi. You know, I mean, these movies had different goals. Like, Superman's goal was to set up this new sandbox to play in and everything. And the goal of this movie was to establish characters that you're going to put into an existing sandbox.
True.
With the MCU. And I think the big thing that they were thinking was what makes them different. Because we've seen genius portrayed in the MCU with, you know, Downey, you know, Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. even.
Shuri.
And so Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shuri, yeah. So their thought is, yeah, let's lean into the family aspect in the same way that, like, when they did the Spider-Man movies, let's really focus on youth. This movie is like, let's focus on the maturity. Yeah, they smartened everybody up, mm-hmm. which I thought was a good idea. You know, in the comic, it's like, hey, I'm going to bring my best friend who sounds like Jimmy Durante, the girl who...
Well, no, he was the pilot.
20 Ben, years older.
No, Ben was the pilot. That always made sense. Johnny and Sue
But he never piloted a spaceship. He never piloted a spaceship.
Well, they were stealing rockets, Mike. They couldn't exactly... He didn't have his pick of the litter. Or maybe that's why he did it to begin with.
No, I know.
Anyways, sorry.
Yeah.
A couple guys in their 40s arguing over the logic of a man who was in his 40s who wrote this shit down 70 years ago.
Continue. You know, Ryan, we're the ones covered in rocks. And then, you know, the girl I'm with, who's way younger than me, and her kid brother. So making them older,
which is never know,
making
made
them
sense,
all dude. Science. Yeah, no.
I don't know. In the movie,
making
though,
them scientists.
I never did like that Johnny was the... Reed could have solved that linguist problem in an hour. I get that they needed something for him to do.
The problem with the linguist... Yeah. My thing with the linguist thing was, don't have her speak in English at the beginning. Have the whole thing be a language that nobody understands.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has to figure it out. But, I mean, you know, I think this movie... is the Galactus movie for a lot of us. It was certainly for me of, you know, being that, you know, I moved to New York in 2007. I saw Silver Surfer in Times Square.
Nice.
I was so annoyed at Cloud Galactus. I was one of those like dorks. And to the point, I went to a comic shop right after, and me and a guy were complaining. One of the guys that worked at the shop, and the manager came over and told the dude, he's like, we had to sell a bunch of Fantastic Four merch. Just pretend you like the movie. I think cutting Malkovich hurt the movie.
Yeah, it was weird.
And that we even know that. I think this movie was missing, you know, that opening montage. Like, it needed a little bit more action up top. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see them be the Fantastic Four even more
mm-hmm.
before we realize how, you know, troubled they are by Galactus, because like in the comics it is this big thing, it is this, you know, shift in the industry of the cosmic story, but it's because everything they faced aliens and stuff, but nothing existential like mm-hmm. this. And you know, in the comic it isn't about Galactus asking for Franklin. I thought that was a great idea.
I did too.
I thought that really kept the family thing. And I thought in terms of a visual, Sue, you know, I have a parent, you know, Sue showing Reed the baby with her powers was a very beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Like, and I think when it comes to these movies, that's what we really want to see. We want to see powers used in a fun visual way, like Quicksilver with Time in a Bottle, mm-hmm. like this, the upside down Spider-Man kiss,
mm-hmm.
when there's like emotion and, but also cool visual flair. I thought I liked it a lot, and you know, but now I'm gonna have to decide which one I like more.
I still don't know if we've seen the quintessential Fantastic Four movie yet. I am looking forward to seeing the next one. I did love it too, and I love Superman, but I don't even know that this one, because they skipped over that origin maybe, or because it didn't have certain elements from the comics. But I agree with you guys, the focus on family is what made it work and what made it stand apart from the rest of the MCU. So now the time has come. Let's pick our favorite. Cam, let's start with you.
I would say that my favorite is Superman. I think that I admire things about both of them, especially the chemistry between the main love interests. Rachel and David were so great together. Pedro and Vanessa were so great together. I think that they're two of the best pairings we've ever seen on screen in a comic book movie. But mm-hmm. Superman has this emotional story and this heart and this through line about goodness and the ability for human beings to be kind in spite of the world's cruelty. Whereas, again, I'm sure I would feel differently about Fantastic Four if I had a child, but I didn't get that emotional story in Fantastic Four. I think that there was a lot of great stuff in there, but Superman as a package was just such a perfect piece of comic book movie that it's hard to compare. It's hard for me to compare almost any other comic book movie to it.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, what about you? What are your thoughts?
It's gotta be Superman, and that's very hard for me to say, but because it's the better movie. And at the end of the day, I think, like, it was funnier. It was more fun. The action sequences were great. I thought that, you know, and shit like, yeah, I, you know, it was cool to see Galactus on screen, but man, Guy Gardner and Mr. Terrific, like, that's the fact that we didn't even mention these other things that really make the movie fun.
Yeah,
you know, that scene with Hawkgirl at the end, the introduction, like, the thing is, it's like, and the main reason I'm giving this answer is because I am more excited to see the next DCU movie than I am to see the Fantastic Four interact with the Avengers. And look, some of that has to do with Downey's Doom and me just not being that interested in that take on Doom. I mean, we'll see what happens with it, but I'm really excited to see a comic universe curated by James Gunn. And I think that the tone he set here, I think there were just, yeah, I mean, there were moments I really loved in Fantastic Four, but man, like that scene, it was my favorite scene in the movie. When Superman and Lois are having the very romantic, you know, personal conversation, and the fight with Mr. Mixopidalek is happening outside, and he's just like a guy who's like, you know, taking a break, and he's like, ah, they got it covered. That, like, this DC is the DC I always wanted. Of this is just a place where weird shit happens. It's like, oh, 8 o'clock kaiju battle. The fun and whimsy of this world, you know, look, they pick Galactus and all of that. And it is a bit dour, you know, like I left Superman energized. I left Fantastic Four entertained, but Superman, I was like, you know, in terms of, you know, my wife hasn't seen either. And she asked me, which one do you want to see again with me? And I said, Superman. Because I know I'm going to have a better time.
One final note I wanted to add was I do think Superman will have a great effect on the MCU. You know, people who like to talk about the Marvel DC rivalry also like to ignore the fact that James Gunn and Kevin Feige are friends who are very complimentary towards one another for the most part. And Feige walked out of Superman and said, I loved that they didn't waste time trying to contextualize everything. You don't know who Mr. Terrific is? Boom, here's Mr. Terrific. You'll figure it out. And I think that when the MCU has their soft reboot after Secret Wars, I think that you will see a lot more comic booky stuff happen and a lot less time spent trying to contextualize. And we're just going to dive right in. So I think Superman's going to have a great effect on the MCU, the same way that I think Fantastic Four will be a message to James Gunn that doing stuff in Elseworlds where you get to do creative things like that retrofuturist New York is very cool, and it's something that they ought to do. So I think these movies are great things for both of the companies.
And Ryan, the final thought I will give, and this is the cheesiest answer, but it's the most punk rock answer. I think the winners are the fans, like in the sense
that you're right.
This is what the genre needed. This boost of fresh, you know, air and confidence, and, you know, not to get political, but with the world and politics right now, as things are, these movies were really needed, and that they both preach positivity and compassion and loving other people, I think is an awesome thing. And that they both preach the celebration of comic books themselves, that they could take from the Silver Age and from the modern age and the Golden Age, you know, Superman was the beginning of superhero comics, and then Fantastic Four revolutionized it the Marvel way. And to see those two seminal moments represented on screen 2 weeks apart is incredible. I think 2008 may always be the best year in superhero movies, just because you have Iron Man and The Dark Knight and then Hellboy 2. That's pretty hard to compete with.
Yeah, even with this the whole being year down the average, yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't mention it for a reason. But we will look back on this as an important moment. Also Wanted, if you want to be cynical.
Hell yeah.
Mike, I agree with you completely. I think it's an unbelievable month. That's why we actually create like a July 2025 shirt just to celebrate it. And I'm with both of you. I think Superman was the better film for many of the reasons you outlined. But you can already watch my review for Superman and Fantastic Four up on the website, or read Matt Singer's review on screencrush.com. Yeah. Thank both you.
But go see both of them.
Oh, go see both. Oh my God, they're with it more than once. Please, then watch our videos. But Mike, Cameron, so much. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Cameron, you're fired. And let us know what you think down in the comments below, or at me on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, or our free to join Discord server. And if it's your first time here, please subscribe, smash that bell for alerts. For Screen Crush, I'm Ryan Airy.